Hi, I'm Jefferson Drexler, and this is Parent Like You Mean It, the podcast where we talk about, well, parenting with intentionality. In other words, trying to get ahead of the curve, even just a little bit before the chaos of life and, well, let's be honest, our kids seem to derail some of the best laid plans that we've made. Now, there are a lot of controllers in our lives. Ideally, our convictions, our commitments, our utmost priorities. Ideally, these are the primary controlling factors in our lives. But right now, I'm talking about actual controllers. Controllers, well, like this one. This is my son's Xbox One controller, complete with Minecraft skin. It may look familiar to some of you. To me, it's simply mind-boggling. I mean, look at all these buttons, joysticks, pads. Well, okay, so technically there's only one pad, but there are literally four triggers, four buttons, two joysticks, and then the aforementioned multi-directional pad. When is enough enough already? I mean, I gotta admit, when I try to play even the simplest of games with my kids using these controllers, I look a lot more like Jim Halpert than I do Juju Smith-Schuster. Now, this guy, this guy's closer to my speed. This is the controller that I use to save Princess Peach. It's what I use to knock out Mike Tyson. And while I broke my own heart to assume the role of the Raiders, nothing could stop me with this controller when I had Bo Jackson running the ball in Tecmo Bowl. You know what I'm talking about. But my all-time absolute number one go-to never fail controller. That's right. That's this bad boy. This is my jam. This is where it all started. From Pac-Man to Pitfall, Space Invaders, Asteroids, Q-Bert, Dig Dug, Pole Position. The list goes on and on and on, and I mastered them all with this single joystick and single button controller. I mean, if I can defeat Donkey Kong with this, who needs all these buttons? Well, apparently my kids do. You see, today's game makers, they may throw a bone to us old guys with some retro controllers here and there, or maybe some clunky 8-bit games that we can download just so we can say that we've played an Xbox or a PlayStation game. But to really game, these handheld button fests, these are necessary. There's not even a good modification out there that allows me to use an old school controller and play alongside my kids. And before I go on, yes, within reason, I do allow my kids to play video games. I'll lay it all out on the table for you. My 11-year-olds play Fortnite, Apex Legends, PUBG, and Zelda. My youngest plays Fortnite in private creative mode and Minecraft. And then my oldest plays Red Dead Redemption, Call of Duty, and Rainbow Six Siege. And to my surprise, he and his buddies still clown around with Minecraft now and then. We do draw particular lines when it comes to some games. For instance, there's no GTA in our house. And since we don't own a PlayStation, we don't have any of the PlayStation-only games. Now, you can debate with me on whether or not it's good parenting to allow video games in my home. But you can't argue whether or not they are unavoidable in our culture today. Truth is, whether we want to admit it or not, video games have been unavoidable since we were kids. And by we, I mean anyone under the age of 55. Yes, even you guys who are older than me were addicted to Pong at some point, but we'll save addiction for another episode. Nor am I here to discuss the history of video games. I'm here to talk about their impact. Now, it's been argued that today's games and entertainment desensitize our youth and inspire them to do all kinds of dastardly deeds. It's the same argument that was used back in the 80s when behavioral experts warned that watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles would drive young boys to be more violent than any generation before them. Now, how they could logically determine this without precedent was beyond my understanding. Back then, I mean, at least two generations prior had grown up watching Bugs Bunny, Daffy, Roadrunner, and Wile E. Coyote, and there never, ever was a run on anvils or pianos being dropped on school kids across the land. Now, I get it. Today's games are more realistic than anything that we've had in our homes before. Elmer Fudd and Porky Pig's rifles, they don't hold a candle to what we see in the Tom Clancy games or Red Dead Redemption. And Babs Bunny is literally child's play compared to the curvy characters in Fortnite. But, as Pee-wee said, everyone I know has a big butt. But, while video games, and even movies, TV, YouTube, and yes, even books, have the ability to desensitize our kids, it doesn't have to come to that. And before I go any further, this episode right here, this is not a gun control discussion. I'm solely speaking in regards to how we can raise kids that play video games, because video games are, for the most part, inevitable in today's American culture. That we can raise kids that play video games, even first-person shooter games, that we can raise kids to play video games and yet they never come close to becoming real-life shooters. And don't give me any of your, oh, not my kids nonsense. There's not a single parent out there of any mass shooter that at one point looked at their 7-year-old and said, honey, I think our boy may have a disturbing future in front of him. Look how he's butchering those Minecraft pigs. Understanding that, quote, it could happen to any of us, that's the first step to effectively, intentionally parent. So, since it could happen to you or me, what are we supposed to do to prevent it? Step one. Well, this seems simple, but it's actually much more difficult than you'd expect. Manage your kids' screen time. For some, this means that video games are only allowed on weekends, or not until all homework and schoolwork is finished, or not until the kid does 25 burpees. Whatever you come up with, you need to have some boundaries within which your kids can play. And whatever they are, your boundaries are bound to upset your kids at some point. And that's just tough. For them, not you. This is one of the not fun, tough love, stick to your guns moments of parenting. They need to know that you mean what you say and that it's not a debate or negotiation. And believe it or not, that's actually one of the easy parts of parenting video gaming kids. If managing your kids' screen time is easy, the tough part is what I call politely inserting yourself into their online world. Politely inserting. Like imagine a big giant bee with his big giant stinger politely asking permission, then regardless if you want him to or if you don't want him to, regardless of that, inserting his ever-buzzing self into your space. I mean, if you can handle one of these controllers, well, by all means, play alongside your kids. If not, if you're an Atari joystick guy like me, then sit down with them as they play and watch them. Listen to them play. Listen to the people that they're playing with. How does their vocabulary or even their tone change from how they talk in real life? And then discuss their games frequently. How many dubs did they get? Did they get any kills or were they just camping the whole time? Did you play singles or duos? Did your teammate carry you? Did you carry them? There are literally dozens of questions that you could ask that they just might be interested in discussing with you. Now, I know. Many of you are thinking, there's no way my kid will talk to me about any of this. Every time I ask him anything, all I get is a series of grunts or maybe a fine. But once again, you have to be steadfast. Continue to politely insert yourself into their lives. Then, as painful as it may be at times, get your kids outside. And when I say painful, I mean painful with a capital pain. We're talking as painful as ripping a 12-inch strip of duct tape off of a guy's leg kind of pain. When your kid wants to play Fortnite and you tell them, hey, go outside and play, they're going to whine, there's nothing to do out there. All my friends are online. It's too hot. It's too cold. One more game, yada, yada, yada. But again, you need to stick to your guns. Mean what you say. Say what you mean and stick to it. But this can actually turn into something fantastic. Here's one example. One of our boys put together a clan of Fortnite friends. These were some school friends and some cousins, some friends of friends. They all knew each other online, but many of them had never met IRL. And my son put together a meetup. They all brought all their Nerf guns, they wore matching t-shirts, and they spent an afternoon running around the park, laughing, making new friends, and shooting one another in a giant battle royale tournament. In between rounds, they had lunch together, they had a Fortnite dance-off, and they made real-life friendships in real-life sunshine. Now, I know that this was a weird, out-of-the-ordinary moment, but it came from an 11-year-old, so we're not talking about rocket science here. It is truly possible to, one, manage your kids' screen time, two, have a conversation with your kids about it, and three, get them to go outside and play. You can do it! Now, finally, and here's the toughest, yet probably the most important trick to raising what I'll call good gamers. You need to set an example by living the example. If you play video games, play them in the same manner that you want your kids to play them. In moderation, after your other responsibilities are taken care of, with appropriate language and with appropriate people, and never neglect other people or aspects of life so that you can get online. You see, forget about all of these controllers that I brought up earlier. You need to understand the value of time. The real controller that we need to worry about, that's this guy. The problem is that too many dads out there have mastered the Xbox controller without mastering their watch or calendar. They can play Black Ops with the best of them, but they can't manage to set aside enough time for real relationships with the ones that really matter, their kids. This part all boils down to priorities. Now, some of you may say, oh, I just don't have the time or energy to do that. Or after work and everything else that I got going on in my life, I just need a little me time. Well, here's my response. What if I offered to pay you to wedge into your daily routine time to manage your kids' screen time, politely insert yourself into their world with active conversations, and play with them outside? The odds are you'd take me up on my offer. Therefore, it's not a matter of can't. It's just a matter of making it a high enough priority to get it done. Guys, your days of getting your initials on the high score screen at the arcade, they're over. It's time to play the toughest game out there. It's called parenting like you mean it. That being said, thanks for watching. For Parent Like You Mean It, I'm Jefferson Drexler. We'll see you next time.